Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live here on FFC, the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. A new week begins right here on Football Full Circle. He is Joe Lisi, the mastermind of the pigskin. I am Ben Stevens. Lisi, how was the weekend? You enjoy yourself?
Yeah, of course, Ben. NCAA Final Four action, right? NFL news and notes. And we sprinkle in a little college football in terms of the spring games. Nothing better than that.
Absolutely so. Some spring games around. Spring practice continues to roll on in the college football ranks. We'll talk a little college football here, Joe Lisi, in just a little bit. Off the idea that we ended Friday's show with, who could be a Cinderella, perhaps, a long shot this year in college football from the NCAA tournament that comes to a conclusion tonight. On a Monday night in Houston, a national champion will be crowned, UConn and San Diego State. San Diego State has been great defensively in football the last few years. Connecticut, under Jim Mora Jr., making a bowl game in his inaugural season in stores. That's the football perspective of it all. But, Joe, we start with some NFL draft news. Georgia defensive tackle Jalen Carter is visiting the Chicago Bears today. Of course, Chicago now picks number 9 overall. It is his second visit among NFL organizations, having already visited the Eagles just a few days prior. Now, this comes from ESPN's Adam Schefter, Joe, who was told, I believe, by Carter's agent Drew Rosenhaus, that Jalen Carter is declining visits from NFL teams that are picking outside of the top 10, as Carter, his team, and Rosenhaus are very confident that Jalen Carter will still be a top 10 draft pick. Of course, Joe, there is the additional component of this story. Jalen Carter was charged with 2 misdemeanor counts of reckless driving and racing for his role in a fatal crash that killed his former Georgia teammate Devin Willock and a recruiting analyst and staffer for Georgia football, Chandler LaCroix, on the night of January 14th into the early morning hours of January 15th. Joe, this news came to light that Carter was involved in this fatal crash on March 1st when he was in Indianapolis for the NFL scouting combine. He went back to Athens. He pleaded no contest, Lisi, to 2 misdemeanor charges of reckless driving and racing that stemmed from that car crash. He will face no jail time. He has 12 months of probation, 80 hours of community service, and must pay a $1,000 fine. But the news in there, Lisi, that he will serve no jail time, of course, has allowed the National Football League and organizations surrounding this situation to say that Jalen Carter is or evaluate his draft prospects here differently, Lisi, than maybe that early time in Indianapolis. Now, Jalen Carter is convinced, Joe, his team is, that he will be a top 10 selection. Do you agree?
I think he's worthy from an on-the-field perspective, but off the field, I think there's the potential he could slip out of the top 10 into the late first round or maybe early second round. It happened with Randy Gregory in terms of, you know, off-the-field type of issues and not being able to do the right thing per se, and that's why he was taken in the second round by the Dallas Cowboys. The same could be true about Jalen Carter. When you see the situation with Henry Ruggs out in Las Vegas, the poor decision decisions that some NFL players make. If you're putting the money in for a first round type of talent, you want to get that on and off the field. So I'm going to say he falls out of the top 10, Ben.
When you look at Jalen Carter, Joe, athletically, like you mentioned, playing defensive tackle for the back-to-back reigning national champion, Georgia Bulldogs. What he was going to be evaluated as, Joe, entering this draft cycle was maybe battling it out with Will Anderson Jr., the edge rusher from Alabama, to be that first defensive player drafted. Joe, we know what happens in the National Football League. We can call out the thing that often is silent. NFL teams and organizations turn a blind eye to any off-the-field discretions when it comes to an overly supreme talented player and making him a part of your organization from his football perspective. Now, to spend a first-round draft pick, a top-10 draft pick on a prospect is a very valuable asset. But, Joe, I do not think, sadly, any of the off-the-field issues and Jalen Carter's role in this fatal crash will end up ultimately hurting his draft stock outside of maybe not being that first defensive player drafted. I believe when you mention that he has taken visits with both the Bears and the Eagles now, teams that select 9th and 10th overall, that Drew Rosenhaus is onto something. Jalen Carter will be a top 10 pick. As we discuss this conversation, as we always do, Joe, and you look at the draft prospect that is Jalen Carter, it is always important to remember that there is the football aspect of him as a draft prospect. There is his role in this fatal crash. And when discussing that fatal crash, it is fatal because two lives were lost. And that cannot just be gleaned or passed over. Joe, when it comes to Jalen Carter, I believe he will be a top 10 NFL draft selection because time and again, NFL organizations have showed us that whatever is happening off the field does not carry as much weight as what you can do on the field.
No, absolutely right. But at the end of the day, Ben, it's risk-reward. You have to mitigate the risk in terms of the top-round talent. And again, knowing what previous players have done and cost their teams, I think that's why he falls out of the top 10.
We'll see. The NFL draft is later this month, just about 3.5 weeks away. Thursday night, April 27th, starts that opening round in Kansas City. All right, Joe, more football full circle up next here, live on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live here on FFC Football Full Circle all across the Sports Grid Radio Network. So as we keep this rolling, Joe Lisi, and as we get ready to go for a national championship game on a Monday night in college basketball in Houston between UConn and San Diego State, we take a similar logic to what we might see, Joe, in a college football season. Spring practice rolls on around the country as we get ready for 2023. Now, Joe, it's very intriguing when you look at this national championship matchup in college basketball, what it has represented this year across the country. A year filled with parity in the sport of college hoops where, Joe, where it was very up in the air, we saw teams we did not anticipate being here making it to a national championship game. Lizzie, that has been the case with San Diego State, a team that has been wildly successful throughout regular season games. They have, in the last 4 years, Joe, a .830 win percentage, which is the third best in all of college basketball. Yet prior to this trip to the NCAA tournament for Brian Dutcher's Aztecs, in his previous 5 years as the head coach, Joe, San Diego State under Dutcher was winless 0-3 in the NCAA tournament. Joe, is there a team that you could compare San Diego State to in college football? A team that is really good year over year in the regular season. They're going to rack up the wins. They're probably going to go over their win total. They might be a double-digit win team each and every year, but come postseason time, whether it's winning a conference championship, getting to the college football playoff, or even just being a factor in the New Year's Six Bowls, they fall a little bit short. Joe, is there a team you would make that comparison to in the sport of college football?
I think the only one I could, I mean, the only two that really come to mind would be like Penn State and the Big Ten, because they've gotten to double-digit wins but have failed to obviously crack through for the college football playoff. And I want to say like an Oregon. I mean, you know, Oregon seems like they're there. I can't utilize Notre Dame because Notre Dame has been in the college football playoff two times over the last 6 years, right? So you can't say that, you know, if Notre Dame runs the table 11-1 or 12-0, they're going to be there because of the independent type of schedule. Penn State, if they go 11-1 and one of their losses is, let's say, to Michigan by a couple of points and they win the Big Ten championship, they'd be there. So that's I can't utilize any Mountain West team like a Boise State. It's, I mean, we're comparing apples to oranges. It's completely different in terms of the college football landscape and obviously the college football basketball situation with San Diego State and all those teams making it to the Final Four.
Yeah, absolutely so, because again, you're judged on postseason success for Brian Dutcher and San Diego State in college basketball. Postseason success is pretty relative, right, in college football. There's not as many opportunities to truly have a game that feels significant during bowl season, or if you are one of the four teams that qualifies for a college football playoff. Notre Dame, Joe, was an interesting one, though, because if I was going to look anywhere, I'd probably look at the Fighting Irish as well. Yes, they have made the college football playoff twice, which is a peg above many other teams, Joe Lisi, in the sport of college football that is much chalkier than that of college basketball. But they haven't done much since being in a college football playoff opportunity, Joe. It's like they get to that stage and then they come up well short by multiple scores. So that would be one, Joe, that I look at. Penn State is another good example of a team that has now won 11 games four of the last 6 years, a Rose Bowl victory to cap things off this past season. They have been a frequent contributor to the New Year's Six Bowl. But, Joe, despite that, they haven't gotten to the college football playoff just yet because they have been unable at this point in the Big Ten East to get past the likes of Michigan the last few years, or before that, Ohio State. Joe, I think both of those assessments are pretty solid. I'll tell you a team, Lisi, that's almost the opposite of a San Diego State. And what I mean by almost the opposite is not postseason success with a lack of regular season success, but always optimistic from the postseason perspective with very little regular season success. That's Texas A&M. Lisi, for the past 2 years, the Aggies have been ranked sixth in the preseason poll. For the past 5 years under Jimbo Fisher, at most, Joe, they have won eight regular season games, and of course, this past year, under 500, failing to go bowling with the sixth best price before the year got started to win a national championship. Again, ranked number six in the preseason AP poll. Lisi, Texas A&M still 60-1 this year. I know it's a much longer price than last year's 25-1 number, but it's not all the way that far down the board as you look at those odds to win a national championship in college football.
No, it's not, and they have Bobby Petrino as the offensive coordinator, Ben. But, I mean, how many times are we going to put life into Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M? That is the only problem, I think, when you just look at the price. It's like, yeah, they have the talent. Now maybe things will change. They still have a good base of core players there. And the way they dominated LSU in terms of the end of the regular season, if they could play like that from start to finish, yeah. But I can't buy in 60-1 or 80-1 or 100-1. Heck, I can't do it until they do it on the football field. I think the one team that I can make the equation or the correlation to potential San Diego State that seems to peak at just the right time might be Utah, right? They lose a couple of regular season games here and there to UCLA, obviously, and the way they played throughout the regular season. But then when they step up against the big boys like USC and in the Pac-12 championship game, they win. So if they got into a tourney type of atmosphere where it was a 12 or an expanded type of tournament, they maybe could be that team that can make that run.
Yeah, absolutely so. It's a really good point, though, Joe, that Utah always kind of finds their way at least into the postseason conversation. It will be a very interesting year for the Utes. It will be a great year, Joe, we expect, of quarterback play in the Pac-12. The reigning Heisman winner, Caleb Williams, is back for USC. UCLA might have Dante Moore, the outstanding young freshman prospect. Cam Rising is back for Utah as well. And Bo Nix returns once again for Oregon. The Pac-12 is stacked, Joe, at least at that quarterback spot. Now, this might seem slightly slanderous, Joe Lisi. I don't really mean it to be. But a team you could argue along the lines of a Notre Dame, and again, you can't knock the Irish for making the college football playoff multiple times. Michigan has also made the college football playoff multiple times. The last 2 years, Joe, they have been incredibly successful. Winners of the Big Ten for two consecutive years, knocking off their bitter rivals in Ohio State two straight seasons. But in terms, Joe, of getting it done once they get to that stage, Michigan under John Harbaugh is just 1-6 in bowl games. Dating back to his time at Stanford, Jim Harbaugh's bowl record, Joe, is just 2-7. When you have a 7 or 9 game sample size for the entirety of his collegiate coaching career, you can't just call it random coincidence, Joe Lisi. It tends to be the trend that follows suit.
Yeah, I mean, for Jim Harbaugh, it's now he's got to get over the hump, right? They've cracked the college football playoff. Now you have to win a big game when it matters most, right? The way they lost to TCU, even though TCU put up points, that defense couldn't shut down Max Duggan and Quentin Johnson, right? I mean, they put up 51 points on Michigan's dominant defense. So here's the problem. Michigan, when they get to that point, somehow, some way, they just don't seem to be prepared for the opposing offense. I mean, Georgia, even when they played a couple of years ago, dominated them in the trenches. So it has to change. Can J.J. McCarthy lead them from behind? That's been the question mark. Without the rushing attack of Blake Corum, and obviously that heavy offensive line, if they fall behind in ball games, they're at a disadvantage, right? They did it against TCU. They're going to have to change that mindset for 2023.
Here's the thing, Joe, I think for Jim Harbaugh in Michigan. They are going to enter this year. I've said this multiple times. I think it's the number two team in the AP preseason poll. Unlike the other four teams, Joe, that have the three best odds alongside Michigan to win a national championship, Georgia, Alabama, and Ohio State, there are no questions around Michigan's quarterback. We'll talk about that up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live here on FFC on the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. Using National Championship Monday in college basketball for the 2023 men's NCAA tournament to maybe paint a similar picture or at least have a conversation for the 2023 college football season. Lisi, we're talking about San Diego State, a team that if you look at their overall win-loss percentage in the last 5, 6, 7 years, certainly under Brian Dutcher, their head coach, who was the longtime associate head coach, assistant under Steve Fisher, both at Michigan and San Diego State, they've been a very successful basketball program. 0.765, the win percentage in 6 seasons under Brian Dutcher, 7th best in all of the sport. And the issue being, Lisi, they have been winless in the NCAA tournament prior, obviously, to this run where they've won 5 consecutive games to play in a national championship. Now, here's the thing, Joe. We're trying to take what we have learned from San Diego State, a team that is wildly successful in the regular season but hasn't necessarily paid it off, to college football. It's a very different thing to have success and earn a bid to the NCAA tournament as it is to be one of the 4 teams remaining in a chalky sport that is college football to play for a college football playoff national championship. If that is the success level you are judged on at the highest level of winning a national title in the sport, only 4 teams out of 131 get that opportunity, as opposed to 64 of 363 in Division I men's college basketball. But Lisa, we both brought up a couple of teams that maybe fit that similar script. I mentioned Michigan right before the break. Here's why. Michigan under Jim Harbaugh, now just 1-6 in bowl games. In the last 2 years, Michigan has knocked off Ohio State, has won a Big Ten title, and has appeared in the college football playoff. But Joe, they have not performed well in that college football playoff. They got absolutely routed by Georgia 2 years ago, 34-11. Never came close to covering as a 7.5-point underdog. But hey, Georgia was incredibly dominant that year, as we saw, resulting in a national championship. Georgia dominant again this year, a perfect 15-0 season for the Georgia Bulldogs en route to their second national championship in a row. But it was Michigan, Joe, that we thought would play Georgia because they got the benefit of playing TCU on that 2-3 matchup in the college football playoff. They were booked as a 7.5-point favorite, Lisey, in the Fiesta Bowl against the Horned Frogs. A couple of weird things happened in that game, certainly. Some things out of the control of the Wolverines, but ultimately the Maize and Blue lose 51-45. So, Lisey, there is an argument to be made that despite Michigan getting to two consecutive college football playoffs by way of winning the Big Ten title, which is a huge accomplishment, now their next step is proving they belong in a college football playoff opportunity, something they have failed to do at this point.
Yeah, and they're sort of similar to what we see in terms of San Diego State in basketball, right? A run-heavy type of offense predicated on the rushing attack and then work on off of play action and a stingy defense that limits big plays, right? I always buy into defensive-minded teams that have opportunistic type of defenses that can change the landscape of the game, right? That's what we see in terms of San Diego State, and they just grind you out and find ways to pull ball games out. Same thing with Michigan. I guess the Achilles heel with Michigan is sometimes when teams strike first, like TCU did in that ballgame and got them out of their game plan, they're at a disadvantage because they haven't evolved yet in terms of the passing attack because they just don't get challenged enough outside of Ohio State from that type of aspect. Ohio State and Penn State are probably maybe the two most sophisticated offenses in all of the Big Ten. You can make that argument. So that is why they've gotten by with the rushing attack. But if they are to take the next step, McCarthy is going to have to evolve in terms of the passing game, and I suggest that they do it in the early portion of the season with the non-conference slate that they have to get them maybe peaking at the end of the season so that when they do face a team like either TCU and Georgia, they're prepared from an offensive perspective as opposed to just a defensive perspective. But they should be there, right? Well, I mean, There's three teams in the Big Ten that you realistically say have a shot. Penn State at 20-1, Michigan in terms of where they are, and Ohio State. Everybody else, you can, and we buy into Matt Rule turning around Nebraska, but expecting them to compete for a Big Ten championship in year one is a little crazy, right?
All right, let's talk about the Rule Aid. We'll do that in a little bit because Nebraska right now, 250-1. To have them win a Big Ten West championship to play in that Big Ten title, I think is a very high bar. I think Nebraska needs to worry about getting to a bowl game first and foremost. But there will be a ton of excitement and optimism, Joe, surrounding that win total for the Huskers moving forward this season. Let's talk about Michigan. 10-1 right now, Lisey. Like you mentioned, the Wolverines, the fourth best price to win a national championship. For this year in 2023, that number four is still very important. It will decide the four teams that play in a college football playoff before we expand to 12 in 2024. Michigan at 10-1, Joe, has the fourth best number. If we were to just follow the odds, this year's college football playoff would be Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, and Michigan, 1-4 in that exact order. And Joe, unlike those other three teams, UGA, Bama, and Ohio State, Michigan doesn't really have any questions to answer around its quarterback position. J.J. McCarthy is back for Jim Harbaugh and the Wolverines. J.J. McCarthy is going to enter this year as the starter. J.J. McCarthy is going to enter this season, Lisey, with a number at 30-1. Surprisingly, in fact, 30-1 to win the Heisman Trophy. Behind the names of Drew Aller, who is the quarterback in Happy Valley for the Nittany Lions, behind Joe Milton, who will most likely enter the year as the starter for the Volunteers, behind even Kyle McCord, Joe, who is presumably battling it out to be the starter for Ohio State. But I say all of that, Lisey, with the idea that J.J. McCarthy, we don't have any concerns over him as a quarterback. At least there is not a question mark on if he is in a quarterback battle, unlike Georgia, unlike Alabama, and even unlike Ohio State, which has to be a big beneficiary for the Wolverines with that fourth best price to win a national championship.
Yeah, I mean, this is probably, I can't remember a year where the top three teams all had new starting quarterbacks, right, in terms of the price perspective, when you just go back the last few years. So this is an opportunity at 10-1 to potentially catch value. I think if we're looking college football playoff, this is the year that potentially we see maybe a deep run by a team, like you mentioned, Michigan at 10-1 or some of the deeper shots, Joe Milton with Tennessee at 30-1, Washington with Pinnix at 30-1, Bo Nix, you know, 40-1, Jaden Daniels at LSU, 18-1. You know, I mean, it's there. Klubnik and Clemson. When's the last time Clemson was 20-1 to win it all under Dabo Sweeney? I can't even think about or fathom. It has to be back definitely previously before 2014, right? Because they were just, you know, there. They were cemented in terms of the college football playoff each and every year. So this is a year, I think, that we're going to see that team from maybe 30 or 40-1 race just like TCU, but then be there and challenge for maybe a potential title. Is it going to be Caleb Williams? Or let's not forget, you know, this Florida State team has been very impressive, and they're sort of under the radar, but they have a quarterback in Jordan Travis that is developed. He's battle tested. And I'm telling you, Mike Norvell got off the hot seat in a big way last year. I mean, they did lose to Clemson by six, but at the end of the day, they are a team you have to keep an eye out. They're starting to peak and maybe challenge Clemson as being an ACC contender.
Jordan Travis, Joe Lisi, is 12-1 to win the Heisman Trophy. It is tied for the third best price alongside two Pac-12 quarterbacks in Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix. Of course, Penix Jr. playing for Washington, was the leading passer in college football a season ago, well over 4,600 passing yards. And Bo Nix, of course, back for Oregon, although his offensive coordinator, Kenning Dillingham, is now the head coach at Arizona State. But, of course, Dan Lanning is back as the head man. The reigning Heisman Trophy winner, Caleb Williams, at 4-1, is the favorite. Drake May, who returned to North Carolina, is 10-1 with the second best price. Joe, there is some talent at the quarterback position, of course, in the ACC. You mentioned Jordan Travis. You mentioned Drake May of UNC. And Cade Klubnik for Clemson is an incredibly enticing price, his own 25-1, and Lisi, for Clemson overall at 20-1. The issue with Clemson the last 2 years, we have seen it, has been the inability offensively with DJ Uiagalelei as the starting quarterback. Uiagalelei now is, of course, Joe, the starting quarterback in Corvallis for Oregon State. Again, adding to that idea, the Pac-12 is quarterback rich this year. But Cade was always the guy, Joe. As a true freshman last year, Cade Klubnik is the savior in Death Valley. Will Shipley is back for the Tigers. We expect the defense, Joe, to find its way back to being one of the supreme sides in all of college football. And six straight years, Joe Lisi, six straight years from 2015 on, Clemson made the college football playoff by way of winning the ACC. Clemson is going to have an opportunity, Joe. I would still believe Clemson is going to be favored to win the ACC, although Florida State, 18-1 to win a national championship, actually has a shorter number, at least to win the Natty right now.
Yeah, well, just think about this. Clemson only lost one game in Death Valley prior to that loss against Spencer Rattler. They're a dominant team. They need wide receiver help. Let's get back to Mike Williams and Justin Ross type of days.
And we will see what Clemson has entering this year. It will be a very interesting discussion, Joe, on if Clemson can return to the top of the ACC. We'll continue having that talk up next here on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are back live right here on Football Full Circle, Sirius XM Channel 159. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. We love the NCAA tournament in college basketball, Joe, because of the storylines that develop from it. Teams that we did not anticipate being in these spots, making their way all the way to a national championship game. It's different in college football, as we know, Joe Lisi, but at least in the last two college football playoffs, we have seen three teams make their first ever appearance. Michigan and, of course, Cincinnati. 2 years ago in 2021, the Bearcats, the first ever group of five team to reach that stage. And this past year, out of the Big 12, TCU making its first appearance in a college football playoff. Joe, as we look up and down the board here, for the odds to win a national championship, there aren't many markets out just yet for 2023 in college football. Georgia has been there a ton. Of course, the back-to-back reigning national title winners, four appearances out of the nine-year history in this college football playoff era. Alabama has been there more than anybody else. As we keep it rolling here, Joe, of course, you have Clemson, who has been there a ton. Ohio State has now been there five times. The Buckeyes have the third best price to win a national championship. Michigan has been there twice. Georgia has only made it three times to the college football playoff. And Oklahoma, four. So, Joe, when you look at those seven teams, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Georgia, Notre Dame, and Michigan, those seven teams have taken, as I do the quick math here in my head, that would be 29 of the available, Lisi, 36 college football playoff appearances. Which means, as we look for new first-timers, only seven other teams, Joe, in the history of the college football playoff have appeared once, because Michigan, Notre Dame, Georgia, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Clemson, and Alabama are the seven schools that have appeared multiple times, seven other only one-timers visiting the college football playoff. Joe, as we look for a team that has not been to the college football playoff just yet, that might be able to get there this year, who is one that you would like to highlight?
Well, I mean, there's two actually that I think could be there. I think one could be Utah at 60-1. We mentioned that because of Cam Rising and their ability to run the football. I like that on the next level. And against USC, they seem to own their number, right? If they could start fast, I think Utah is a legitimate shot at 60-1. But let's go a little bit deeper. How about this Ole Miss team at 150-1? The reason why I bring that out is they have Howard, the transfer from LSU. They have Jackson Dart. And oh, by the way, they have Spencer Sanders from Oklahoma State, right? The way the defense came around over the past couple of years under Lane Kiffin, maybe, just maybe, if they find lightning in a bottle in terms of a smooth run, with now Monroe taking over for Alabama and knowing where they are, Milroe, excuse me, they have an opportunity to maybe catch Alabama and then challenge if they win the West, just the way LSU did last year, to challenge Georgia or whoever comes out of the East. So, I mean, I can only look SEC and I can only look Pac-12 as being that team to maybe, you know, win it, you know, outside the usual suspects, Ben.
I think two teams are very capable this year, Joe, and certainly would be the areas I look for that first timer. One being Penn State, a team we have discussed. Of course, their bar is to beat Ohio State and or Michigan and maybe appear in the Big Ten title game out of the Big Ten East. We have seen multiple teams from the same conference now make it to the college football playoff in back-to-back seasons. Alabama and Georgia 2 years ago. They also did it back in 2016. And as we know, Joe, we have also seen this past year Michigan and Ohio State make it from the college or from the Big Ten to the college football playoff. Excuse me, Notre Dame or Alabama and Georgia back in the 2017 college football season. However, Lisi, as we break this down, I think Penn State can be that team out of the Big Ten. Drew Aller, the new quarterback in Happy Valley, alongside both of the talented freshman running backs that returned from last year, Nicholas Singleton and Katron Allen. Knowing how well James Franklin has recruited and knowing, despite losing Joey Porter Jr., they return a lot on the defensive side of the football as well, Penn State can be that team. You can see the path there for the Nittany Lions. And then, Joe, I think the best spot on the board for a first-timer that probably doesn't feel like a first-timer making the college football playoff and now its 10th year of existence, USC. Caleb Williams, Lincoln Riley getting to a college football playoff. The Trojans have never been to a college football playoff. Of course, Joe, a Pac-12 team has only made it to the college football twice in the now 9-year history of this way of crowning a national champion. Oregon, the runner-up in 2014 in the first ever CFP. Washington was the last Pac-12 team to get here. That was back in 2016. It is now, Lisi, been 6 consecutive years a Pac-12 team has failed to make the college football playoff. I think if you're looking for a first-timer, then I think you look at USC. What do you think, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, this is it, right? I mean, they got the growing pains out in year one with Lincoln Riley. They know what it takes now to win a national championship or at least get to the college football playoff. They saw the blueprint in terms of what Utah was able to do in the Pac-12 championship, and they saw TCU challenge Michigan, right? So now they have to build up the defensive side of the ball. That is going to be the only way USC gets to the college football playoff, in my opinion, if they could shore up the defensive side of the ball with Alex Grinch, enough. We're not talking top 10. They don't have to be top 10, but they have to get much better in run support, be much more physical, so when they go up against the likes of Utah, maybe some of the other blue-collar teams, their defense can carry them, Ben, something that it didn't do in back-to-back games with the Utes last year.
Certainly so. It's what it needs to change, Joe. When you look at Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma and Lincoln Riley in Southern California, the one constant that you could argue, Joe, has held the Sooners back and now the Trojans back is the defensive side of the football. And that one constant has been holding on to Alex Grinch as his defensive coordinator. What will it take, Lisi, for Lincoln Riley to look somewhere else for his DC spot? What will it take to finally have Lincoln say, you know what, Alex, I love you as a guy. You've been a close personal friend. I've enjoyed working together. But the results just aren't there. What will it take, Joe, for that to be the case?
Oh, if they miss out this year, I think Alex Grinch is gone. You know, if they miss out this year and other teams catch them in the conference, teams like UCLA and Utah again, I think he's out the door. I mean, there is no margin of error. Lincoln Riley was not brought to USC to elevate them to 9-3 or 10-2 overall. He was brought there to not only win a Heisman Trophy and cultivate the quarterback position, but take and elevate this team to prominence back where we saw, you know, Liner and Reggie Bush. That is why Lincoln Riley is there. It's not to just, oh yeah, we're the best team in the Pac-12. No, you're there to be the best team in the Pac-12 and the best team in college football. With the type of talent that's out in the state of California, you're supposed to lure all those athletes to USC and then cultivate them into a national championship caliber team.
Yeah, it's absolutely the case. We know they have it offensively, Joe. We know that USC is going to bring it offensively. Yes, there will be some changes in how that offense looks this year. But Caleb Williams is back, and that's pretty much all that matters at this point for the Trojans. It will be defensively. And maybe you could make the argument last year, Joe, although I wouldn't, but maybe you could make the argument out there that in Lincoln Riley's first year at the helm in Southern California, taking over a football team that was 4-8, in 2021, having to completely gut and then revamp the roster through the transfer portal, which he did to a tremendous amount on the offensive side of the ball. Caleb Williams, Travis Dye, Jordan Addison, and I'm sure to the defense a decent amount as well, Joe, that maybe you could make the argument that you give them a year to get their guys in there. This now recruiting class comes through. They develop in the program that this is the year you will see it pay dividends from a talent perspective. If it doesn't, then again, I think there might have to be some changes, Joe, because USC didn't just cough up opportunities. USC got bludgeoned in those opportunities, getting beaten by Utah in Salt Lake by just a point. Sure, tough thing. USC even covered as a 3.5-point underdog. But the way, Joe, they lost control in that second half against Utah in the Pac-12 title game with a victory would have sent them to the college football playoff, incredibly disappointing. And then we saw it on display against Tulane and Tyjae Spears during bowl season as well, Lisi, when the Green Wave took it to USC on that side of the football. So that will be the bar that USC has to clear this year, Lisi.
It is. And again, in run support is where they're weak. And I think we're forgetting back, you know, I mentioned Liner and Reggie Bush. You had players like Troy Polamalu in terms of the defensive side of the ball. As dynamic as the offense was, they had players that could play on the defensive side of the ball. And if need be, that defense would take over ball games. So that needs to change. They haven't had a physicality. They haven't had that blue-collar mindset on the defensive side of the ball. It started with Clay Helton, and even before him, it was a slow progression and regression to where we have right now under Alex Grinch. I mean, they have not fought in terms of gutty games to pull games out on the defensive side of the ball. Once they allow teams to run on them, they never dig their feet in and they get abused at the point of attack. That needs to change for them at 16-1 to hoist the championship this year.
Yeah, and that will be the difference for USC. Joe, you mentioned that 16-1 number for the Trojans. It's the fifth best in the country. Florida State has been to the college football playoff once. LSU has been there once. Of course, that perfect season, one of the best college football teams we have ever witnessed in 2019 to win that national championship. Clemson has been there six of the 9 years. Penn State has yet to be there. Tennessee has yet to be there. Washington and Notre Dame have been there. Penn State and Tennessee, Joe, you touched on. Here's another one at 30-1 that I think will build a lot of that conversation, Joe, as we get going here to near the start of the 2023 college football season. Texas, 30-1 for Sark and the Longhorns this year. Quinn Ewers is back, but I'll just say this, Joe. I'm not sure the enthusiasm for Texas football this year is going to be with Quinn Ewers. It is going to be with Arch Manning, the freshman now on campus in Austin for UT. Joe, how will you evaluate Texas in 2023?
Well, again, they're going to be there from a talent perspective, and they went toe-to-toe with Alabama. They get that victory. They earn a notch in terms of the belt, but Texas is like USC. They need to do it before you start buying in. The other problem is they have a quarterback situation. They lure Arch Manning there. He's not there to sit on the bench, right? And more realistically, Ben, even if he does start, are we going to say a true freshman like Trevor Lawrence is going to take this team to a national championship in year one with no growing pains? In my opinion, absolutely not.
I don't think so. And again, I think it's very funny, the conversation around Arch Manning, Joe. I really do. Because there has been three perfectly rated quarterback prospects since the year 2000 from 24/7 Sports. Perfectly rated as in a 1.0000. Those three players have all donned the burnt orange of Texas. Vince Young was the first. Quinn Ewers was the second. And Arch Manning is now the third. Let me repeat that. Quinn Ewers was also a perfectly rated quarterback prospect, Joe, coming out of high school. He is already there, and he already has a year of college football experience. But you know that if things do not go well to start off this year for UT, everybody in Texas is going to clamor for Arch Manning. More on Football Full Circle next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are back here for just a few more minutes on Football Full Circle. Sirius XM Channel 159 and all across the Sports Grid Radio Network. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. So, Joe, it's National Championship Monday in college basketball. We have gone through the 2023 college football season and those national championship odds right now to paint a picture or a similar script, perhaps, of how teams in college football can pull off what San Diego State State has this year its first ever national championship game appearance after its first ever Final Four appearance and its first ever Elite Eight appearance as well. Some long shots that might be able to reach the first college football playoff in their program history. Joe, on the other side, Connecticut, I don't know if you want to call them a blue blood or a new blood. I would go more with blue. That's at least the case when you have won five national championships, potentially if they are victorious tonight, a 7.5-point favorite to do so, in the last 24 years. So, Lisi guy, let's break things down right now. Not from the college football perspective, but college basketball. Who do you like tonight, Lisi, to win a national title?
San Diego State. I'm sitting on a 10-1 ticket. I'm not backing down. I like them plus the 7.5, plus the 280. Defense wins championships, baby. We're gonna pound under the boards tonight and win this ball game.
Hold on a second. What do you mean 10-1 on San Diego State? When did you get that?
I got it right after they beat Bama. Instead of taking Bama, okay, and Carver talked me out of it, I wanted to take them at 42-1, but I was sitting on them money line against Bama. So I took the money line against Bama, won that, and then immediately after they won that game, they dropped down to like 10-1.
I have a plus 390 number on San Diego State, Joe, that I bet right before Final Four weekend because I thought there was value from the left side of the bracket between Florida Atlantic and San Diego State. But I think UConn rolls tonight. Lay the 7.5. Don't overthink it. Lisi, best of luck to you. We'll talk tomorrow here on Football Full Circle. But that does it for now. But stay tuned to Sports Grid Radio. The money line is up next.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.